Our sister Marie was mentioning some of the, what would we say, the old timers. But again, remember our leaders. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. I was going to give these out in the morning, but maybe we could just, who's going to help me? Now, I don't know if you recognize anyone on these pages, but Sister Marie's husband is right there in the middle, in the front page. Did you see him there? See, right there?
Yes, I do.
Who's that? Who's that handsome fellow?
Yes, that's my husband of 60 years.
Praise God.
Over 61 years.
And the gardeners are to the right there. And if you turn over to the back, you see all those fellows sitting on the platform there. Oh, Brother Arthur, Uncle Arthur, is all the way on the right there. You see them there, right? No, he's not talking about you, son. Her father. Brother Arthur. And these are the Wanamakers here. That's the man that's pictures up there. See that sketch? That's, and the lady on the left in the back there, that's Sister Pearl Young. So, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. Tonight I'd just like us to consider the outcome of their way of life. I'm sure we all have memories, or some of us who are older, we have memories of Brother Gordon and Sister Caroline. And maybe if I ask tonight, what are some things that you remember about their way of life? Anyone? Phil, what do you remember?
They abided in Christ.
They abided in Christ. They made it their aim to abide in Him. We read of that in John 15. Abide in me. And my words, let my words abide in you. Something else?
We're happy, joyful people.
Happy, joyful people, really? I thought if you're godly, you can't be happy. It's quite the opposite. I think the most happy people I know, joyful people, are the most godly people. Brother Tom.
Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of
God. Amen. When I think of my mom, I think of that as well. It didn't matter what was happening in life. They were always the same. It didn't seem like the events of life, you know, ruffled their feathers. It was just constant, steadfast. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Someone else.
They welcomed everyone and loved.
Amen. Brother Gordon and Sister Carol, they made you feel like they were your friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And your best friend. They made you feel loved.
I remember Sister Carol, playing in the spirit. The piano was over on that side. But you don't have to do that. Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And it was all the way through, faithful, trustworthy.
I don't know if you all heard that, but you said that Sister Caroline used to play on, I believe it was the organ, right? The organ.
She played the piano.
Piano too, yeah, both. But in the spirit, and brought the presence of God and the power of God into a meeting. And then she mentioned her dad, and that he lived at home what he preached in church. Yes?
Yes. I remember the first time I came to camp from Canada. And I'll never forget that booming voice. It scared me to death. What a voice. I mean, he was serious and boom, loud and boom.
Praise God.
I felt like that was the voice of God. It scared me.
Yes, Brother Tom.
I call that just kind of a very precious memory of Brother Gordon. And it's already been said how approachable he was. And he was such an influence. And the Lord had met me in a very special way here in one of the services. I was 15, if I remember correctly. And I didn't see this coming, but Brother Gordon said, I want you to come and drive with me. And he said, I've got a revelation for you. Didn't know what that would mean. But we went out to one of the local towns, and I think it was a Dairy Queen. I didn't know that Brother Gordon would ever eat at a Dairy Queen. We went for a hamburger. We went for a hamburger together. But I will never forget that, because on the way, and as a 15-year-old, just the presence of God, just driving in his car, and just that he was so willing to speak into my life, so willing to be an influence. He understood that need. We celebrate these witnesses in our life because of what they poured into us. But he and many, many others, we are who we are, I think, in great measure because of the investments and the influence of people like Brother Gordon. Just that he would take that time with a young person meant so much.
Amen. Yes.
For both of them, I appreciated their knowledge of the Word, the time they had to spend studying, and their ability to communicate. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Brother Gordon was had quite a mind, and could teach from the Word of God. And I remember one saying he used to. It all hangs together. Would he say that it all hangs together, right? And what he meant by that was that he could take things from the Old Testament, the New Testament, and he just made everything make sense, bring it together, and show us that Word of God was just one book from beginning to end. And so, yes, a teacher. Sister Caroline as well. Someone else.
Steadfast is what struck me also. They were so unwavering. They had their eyes fixed,
mm-hmm.
their heart fixed.
Mm-hmm. There's a little story in here, and again, I didn't plan on this, but maybe it's good if we would just look at that. Right in the middle of the book, there's this a little history. You know, we're celebrating our 70 years, and and we're not going to read the whole thing. You can read it together. It's an amazing story if you want to know how camp came into being. Again, it was something that God did. You know, God arranged it and God made it happen. But he used different ones who were led by him and given to him. But if you turn to the second part of this, where it says, Arthur Walvoer remembered. Do you see that? Middle of the page there? Okay, you wanted to volunteer? Yes. Go ahead and read for us.
Arthur Walvoer remembered that first year at Brant Lake, we would have our meetings in what was then the dining room and is now the adult library. We'd sit around the tables in there. Uncle Hans came and helped sometimes. I remember how he prayed for one fellow. He said there was a small candle of light that God had placed into this boy, and he prayed that the Lord would take care of that light, that it wouldn't go out.
Amen. You think God is interested in the one? In the one boy and the one girl? Yes, he is. And he wants us to have that same interest in those that will come now. In the next 2 weeks, we'll have maybe 75, 80 children here. We want to love them. And we want to love the one. All right, next paragraph, that's a long one, to the end. Johanna's good?
Something happened at camp in those early years on our Labor Day weekend. We were expecting quite a group of young people and adults. Brother Gardner came to me and mentioned he would like me to find out about renting a film. Those were the days before retreats, and he wanted something special for the weekend. After looking from his film catalog, we chose one on the life of Franz Schubert. From its description, it appeared to be harmless and interesting. Well, it turned out to be a rather worldly film. I remember it showed some very wild parties. All of a sudden, Brother Gordon called out, "Stop." Now remember, a lot of people were there watching this film. And he said again, "Stop, I'm afraid this is not the kind of film we want to be watching here. This is not in keeping with our standards at camp, and it's not the kind of thing we want to see." There were quite some groans from the young people, for Brother Gardner stood his ground. He told me to quickly go over to Washrock and get a fire going for a wiener roast. It turned out to be a nice evening after all, but it made an impression on me. I saw that this man was willing to stick his neck out and be very unpopular, if necessary, to keep the standards up, and I admired him for that.
Amen. Amen. Holiness unto the Lord. That's the standard. Tomorrow morning we'll consider that together in our morning worship. But I just wanted to give you a little history there of the camp and these different ones. There's different articles in here, one by my father's father, my grandfather, Gottfried Waldfogel, and another one by Uncle Hans, who was the founder of the work. So it's for you. Those books are for you to bring to the morning worships and to read. We might read some of the articles together. But just tonight I wanted to consider the outcome of their way of life. Now, we've heard their way of life, a disciplined life, a godly life, but what was the outcome? And one of the things I was speaking to Brother Paul, I guess a few weeks ago, and I said, I believe that the fact that camp is still here 70 years later is one of the outcomes of their way of life. Our brothers talked about influence. And because they prayed and they invested their lives in this place, it abides to this day. I think prayer is something that, well, I know I can do better. I know that I could pray more and should pray more. And believe through and pray through. I often think, and I've said this before, so Sister Marie, I'm like you, I say things more than once, but I know that I'm saying it again. So I just say that so you know that I'm saying it again. I forget, now I'm going to digress, but John Newton, right? He was the one who wrote Amazing Grace. You've heard his story, right? And how he, when he was... when he got older, he would write out his sermons, and he'd have someone stand next to him and help him keep his place, you know, as he delivered his sermon. And I guess one time he said, "It's one thing I know. I was a great sinner, but I have a great Savior." And he said again, "This thing I know, I was a great sinner, but I have a great Savior." And the man said, "You said that already." He said, "I know I was a great sinner, but I have a great Savior." He wanted the people to get that. Now see, I'm going to forget what I was going to tell you now. See, that's the way it works. But this is what it is. If our young people... If those that are here in our midst, if our young people back at home, if our children, if the next generation don't receive from God the touch that they need, I don't necessarily believe it's their fault. I believe the fault will lie with us. There were people who prayed for us, who believed God for us, who took time to invest in our lives. And if God has been able to accomplish anything in our lives, it's because people invested in us. God through them. God using them. And so it's our responsibility, just like our leaders who we were remembering who have gone before, it's our responsibility to do the same thing. What will be the outcome of our way of life? What will it be? Well, for them, I believe that fact that camp remains to this day is because of their faith and their prayers and their dedication, their consecration to God. Brother Paul mentioned another thing that I believe is the outcome of their way of life. The outcome of their way of life is that they were joyful people. They may not have been famous, you know, as the world calls or would think famous. And maybe they didn't have a lot of the things that we possess and that we think we need to be happy. And yet, because they knew God and walked with God and lived holy lives, they were a happy, joyful people, delightful to be around. Yes, Brother Gordon scared me at times with his, if you didn't know him, boy, you could be really afraid of him. But once you got to know him, it was a delight, a pleasure to be in the company of such godly people who you knew loved you and prayed for you. Another outcome, I believe, of their way of life was the fact that they walked with God. Because they had chosen to please him in everything, there was that walk with God, that moment by moment. I thought of Enoch. You know the story of Enoch, how the Bible says he was translated before he saw death. And why? Why did God take him? Before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord, that he walked with God day by day. God became their friend. That was the testimony that Abraham had. He was a friend of God. Jesus said to his disciples, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. And I wonder if you are a friend of God. Am I a friend of God? Do I walk with him? Do I talk with him? Is it easy for me to share with him the things that are upon my heart? Our brother Paul played at the beginning of the meeting tonight, companionship with Jesus. Oh, wondrous bliss, oh, joy sublime. I have Jesus with me all the time. That was one of my Uncle Edwin's favorites. If you were here for 2 weeks under his minute, you sang number 20. And that was something that he wanted you to get into your heart, that you could walk with Jesus, that there could be that companionship with him. And again, that requires that we humble ourselves. The humbleness of these people who have been our leaders. Humble thyself, and the Lord will draw near you. Humble thyself, and his presence will cheer you. And so because they were willing to humble themselves and take the lowly path, God walked with them, and you could ride in their car and sense that God was with you. And so there's just a blessing that comes from lives that are consecrated and given to God, fully surrendered to him. the other, and maybe another thought would be the rivers of living water that flow from the innermost being that bring blessing to so many. I would think there are countless people who would say, you know, I remember how God met me at camp. Over these 70 years, how many, Brother Paul? I mean, there must be hundreds of people. And maybe we never hear, but sometimes we do. People will come back and say, I remember when I was at camp. I remember how God met me. I remember how he touched my heart and changed me. Why? Because the rivers of living water flowed in this place and flow today. And the hungry are satisfied. The thirsty find their thirst quenched. Rivers of living water flowed from their innermost being. A blessing to many. Again, I've said this before. You can go down to the palace. Now, I hope the picture's still there. Is it still hanging there in the entryway? There's a little painting or photograph, I forget. But I remember the little inscription underneath it. It's dedicated to the gardeners. You know what it says? Stephen, you know what it says, Brother Stephen? It says, they cared for my soul. They cared for my soul. That's the impression they left upon that life. And so I just trust that we, as we look back and as we remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what that means to me is that what he did then, he's able to do now. And what he did then, he wants to do now. You know, our brother's been encouraging us and encouraging us to believe for greater things. You know, as we look back, we don't want to say, oh, it was wonderful back then, you know. Now it's maybe not so much. Can we believe God that he can make us a people that walk with God? A people that can say, God is a friend of mine. Jesus is a friend of mine. Can you say that? Do the rivers of living water flow through us as God would desire? That our lives would bless others, that people would know that we truly love them and that we care for their souls? See, the challenge is for us today to be all that God wants us to be, to live lives that please him, lives that are given to him, lives that are disciplined, lives of integrity, that we're not one thing in church and another thing at home. God forbid. But we want our lives to be true. We want to be holy unto our God. And so as we remember our leaders and we consider the outcome of their way of life, beloved, it's the blessed way. It's the way of blessing. If you walk the way of holiness, it's the way of blessing. And I want to walk that way. And God gives grace. But at the same time, he's looking for those that will respond to him and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. I want you to be all together, King. And so again, I'm thankful for the fact that we can celebrate God's faithfulness over 70 years. I'm thankful that we can look back and say, thank you, Lord, for the examples that you placed in our lives, the godly people who marked out the path for us, that we can consider the outcome of their way of life. They were true to the end. They were faithful unto death. And we can imitate their faith. I thought of imitating their faith. It doesn't, that word faith there doesn't mean necessarily what they believed in the sense of creed. But imitate their faith has the idea of the way that they lived. When the Bible speaks of faith, it speaks of our Christian experience, the total Christian experience. That's our faith. And how we live out the things that we believe, that's our faith. And so when we imitate their faith, we want to live in a way that they lived. You know, Paul could say, imitate me as, or follow me as I follow Christ. And I think that's the idea here as well. We don't imitate them. We were talking at supper table. There are some people who can really imitate Brother Gordon Gardner. I mean, maybe some of you know them. Where are those girls? Maybe you live with someone like that. I don't know. Can I share that story? About, why not? Oh, okay, I'm going to tell a story about your dad, but you can't tell him. I told you, right? I told this in public. Apparently, Brother Keith, he there was some young men that trained here at camp for the ministry, and so they got kind of close to Brother Gordon, and Brother Keith was one who could imitate Brother Gordon very well, and I can't even try. You know, I'm not even going to try. And one time he imitated him in the kitchen, and apparently Sister Caroline was there, and she actually thought that Brother Gordon was in the kitchen. And she came out looking for Brother Gordon. Well, when Brother Gordon found out about it, he called Keith into his room and said, with Sister Caroline, and said, okay, now, come on, do it. Come on. Let me hear you do it. Come on. And of course he couldn't. That's not the imitation that we're trying to achieve here. I had a fellow, a camper, when I was down in the village counseling, Miles Moses, and he could he would imitate the way I led the singing, you know, and even I'd be walking down the road and he'd walk behind me and he'd be doing this. Brother Tom still remembers and laughs. But to imitate their faith, it requires that we know our God the way they knew their God. And that God is the same. Jesus Christ is the same, and we can know him. We can know him better today than we did yesterday. And so that's the goal. That's the desire that ought to be in our hearts. Nothing else will satisfy. We've tasted and seeing that the Lord is good. And so we ought to desire more. Lord, I want to know you better. I want to love you more. And that's a pursuit that isn't just for a few. That's God's call over each of us. And it's something that carries us through all life long. I look at my dad, I look at Sister Marie, and they set the example for us. Still seeking God. Still calling upon him. Still not willing to lay down the armor until we get the crown. Until we stand before him. And so let's be what our leaders have been to us. Let's be those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. I trust that there's a desire in your heart to know God and to know him better. I don't think we can sit in his presence and not realize that he is drawing us, that he is desiring to make himself known. And so what's the response of your heart? How do I respond? Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you better. God, put that in my heart to seek you, because all who seek find. And I know we've heard that already in these days. But now we have to do something with that. Let's set aside the time. Let's give him the attention the loving attention that he deserves, that he desires. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I praise you. And you can say that, and you can have that conversation with him wherever you are. And throughout the day, I trust that God will draw our hearts and make himself known to us. Let's bow our heads. Thank you, Jesus. There's a quote that I'm not sure who said it. It's not someone from our circles, and it's not, I don't even think it maybe is a religious necessarily quote, but it goes like this: you cannot teach what you do not know, and you cannot lead where you will not go. You cannot teach what you do not know, and you cannot lead where you will not go. And so I want to know God. And I want to be willing to go where he leads me so that others can follow. And I trust that each one of us has that desire. Lord Jesus, I want to know you so I can tell someone else, so that I can pass on this wonderful gospel that Christ lives in me. Lord, I pray that you would put it in each of our hearts a greater desire for yourself, just to know you, Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. Lord, we want to know you. We want to know you better. Lord, I pray for the young people that are here tonight. Dear Father, I pray that you would capture their heart's attention. Lord, so many things call for our attention, so many things that would distract us from the things that are truly important, the things eternal. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would be able to see you in these days, that they would be able to hear your voice, that you would call them, and that they would respond. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord, that we truly would live the things we say we believe, that others could imitate our faith. That we would prove that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Lord, come to us. Put a cry in our hearts. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And as we look back, help us to remember the faithfulness of our God, the God who never changes, and the God who is able and willing to work in us as he worked in the past. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Lord, we want to give ourselves afresh to you tonight. Lord, you take us and you make us what you want us to be. In spirit and soul and body, no matter what the cost, for Jesus' sake, amen. Let's sing number 90 in the white book. Number 90. Sing that last verse. I just wanted to give the announcements for tomorrow. Tomorrow morning we have our regular scheduled breakfast at 8:30 for the guests. And just one little change is that we're going to meet at 9:15 for our worship here in the lodge. 9:15. I know there are things that need to get done tomorrow, so we'll try to keep that meeting shorter than normal, whatever that means. But we'll begin at 9:15. And bring your books along, and we'll look at that first lesson called Unto Holiness. But before we go tonight, again, I believe it's always right for us to respond to God's call. And a song like this, again, is a prayer that we pray to Him. But if there's anyone that would like to just come forward as we sing this last verse, if God has been speaking to you, dealing with you, and I don't want you just to come. That's not my intention. And if no one comes, that's okay. But if you feel that God is calling you, and you really want to live for Him and be all that He wants you to be, and it could be someone young, it could be someone old, I don't know. But let's respond to Him tonight. And we'll pray together. And let's just seal this thing with God. So as we sing, if you feel that's something that you feel God is prompting you to do, then just come forward and we'll pray together. Last verse.
Living for Jesus.
Serving in the kitchen.
Yes.
Heading up the kitchen.
Yes.
Let's just pray God's blessing upon him. Dad, would you come and pray for Greg?
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, you have created this response in this young man.
Amen.
And you will enable him by your grace to carry through, to take his stand for you. Jesus, to live only unto your praise. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Keep him for yourself and for your service, that you may be glorified in him. And Lord, we sense that you're drawing all of us.
Yes, Lord.
Create in us the response that you are seeking until we are wholly yours. Lord, Lord, you brought us to this place for this purpose, that we might be entirely given to you, to live unto your praise. Thank you, Lord, for your work. Work on, Lord, until we are all that you want us to be. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, we all have the opportunity to just spend some time with God before we go. But God bless you. Be with you.